Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another devotional. I love sharing the scripture, especially out of Psalms, because they are written out of the heart and soul of a man or men crying out to God from depths that were plummeted by pain, by incredible extremities, by attack, by oppression. And Psalm 126 is one of those great moments of release that come to us and come to people when God does something great in our lives that we've been hoping He would do for a very long time. And while we've been waiting, we have been lonely, anxious, depressed, or worried. And we've been praying and believing for a miracle of some kind. And then it happens. And that's what Psalm 126 is all about. It's called one of the Psalms of Ascents, one of the Psalms that the Hebrew people sang on their journey from Babylon back to Jerusalem. Verse 1, when the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. It's a great day when God sets us free from an oppression that we didn't deserve. These were the children of fathers who had committed atrocious sins. They had forsaken the worship of the true God for false gods again and again and again. And because of that, God eventually said, I have to uproot you from your land that I promised to you so long ago. And I'm going to take you away from here for 70 years. In fact, Jeremiah prophesied it in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you and cause you to return to this place. So that great prophet Jeremiah, who wept every day over the people of God because he had to prophesy the judgment that was coming, the fact that they were going to be uprooted and taken from their land, the fact that they would be defeated in front of their enemies as God came to purge them, cleanse them from the uncleanness of their false worship. When we worship false gods, we get false images of ourselves. We lose our true identity. When we change the identity of our God, we start to morph into other identities that are foreign to the image of God in ourselves. God eventually brought this about, this word of the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah told the people again and again, accept your judgment. Don't believe that it'll be just for a few months or that you will win victories. There were false prophets in those days who prophesied, oh, you won't be defeated, like Jeremiah says, you're going to be just fine. But actually, they were defeated. And even then, when the people were deported down to Babylon, there were still false prophets among them who said, this is only going to be a couple of years and then we'll all be out of it and we'll be going back. But it actually was 70 years. So Jeremiah told them to plant vineyards, build houses, start farming the land and pray for the cities that they were in, that they would be peaceful so that they could prosper and be in peace. Even under judgment, God's love extended to his people that they would be blessed in another land. Eventually, God did fulfill his word. It was amazing because Daniel was one of those young boys that had been deported from Jerusalem, from Israel. He was about 10 when that happened. He lost not only his name, Daniel, he became known as Belteshazzar, and his three friends, they lost their names. That was Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. But he lost his parents. He lost his family. He lost his home. He lost the land he lived in. He lost his education. Once he was deported from Jerusalem to Babylon, there they began to educate him with a different education about different gods, different arts, and different knowledge that the Babylonians wanted to impose on him. Even so, Daniel and his friends preserved their purity of worship for God in heaven. Even though they'd lost their identity, they didn't lose their spiritual identity. They refused to bow down to the foreign gods. They refused the food that was disallowed them by the laws of Moses. It wasn't kosher, so they pleaded with the king to let them only eat that kind of food. And eventually, they discovered that the food they ate left them healthier than the other. And in the midst of it all, Daniel never forsook his faithfulness to Yahweh. So he survived four different tyrants, kings, despots, rulers, one conquering the other. But keeping on, Daniel, the counselor, the wise man, who is one of the wisest figures in all of history, plus one of the most effective prophets with deep insight into all that God was going to do, not only in his time, but in the last days of planet Earth. So when he read the words of Jeremiah, it's recorded in Daniel 9:2. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books of the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. So he began to pray that what God had prophesied would now be fulfilled. We all know the story, how a law was passed that forbade prayer. But Daniel didn't obey that law. He did not comply. He continued to pray. And because of that, he was thrown into the den of lions. But that didn't stop him praying either. And so as he prayed, he was delivered. The king loved Daniel. And eventually he was rescued from the lion's pit, causing one of the greatest revivals in the history of the world. The king sent a letter out to all his domains, which virtually was the world, commanding them to worship the God of Daniel, that their God would be their God now. Incredible. Our worst moments can become our greatest victories if we respond correctly. And so now Daniel is praying and seeing the fulfillment of the word of God come to pass. Suddenly Cyrus is the king, and Isaiah had prophesied by name that Cyrus would command the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. And so under Cyrus, the Jewish people were sent back to rebuild the temple and the city of Jerusalem. Cyrus sent them back. A king who didn't know God, was a worshiper of false gods, pagan. But God knew this man and knew how to push the buttons that would get him to do this. He read about himself in the prophecies of Isaiah and saw what he was meant to do, and so he did it. Incredible. And now, through the most amazing set of circumstances, the people of God are walking the road, carrying their belongings, carrying supplies and provisions that will help them rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. They can't believe it. It's like they're dreaming. It's like they're in some kind of delusion. It's incredulous. And that's why the psalmist begins by saying, when the Lord turned again our captivity, the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. We couldn't believe it was real. But here's another way of looking at that. It is amazing when we are in oppressed circumstances, the only dream we have is of getting out of them. We just dream of someday getting free from the oppression or the sickness or the illness. But now, out of oppression and restriction, they're free to dream again. We know we're set free. And we know the power of the Holy Spirit is on us because we get dreams of a future. God is the giver of those dreams. He's the giver of visions to put hope in our soul. And once hope is there, once hope is alive, we feel like we can do anything. So they begin the great journey back to Jerusalem after 70 long years. Daniel was then about 80, crying out to God. Many of these men and women who were walking back had been born in Babylon. They'd never been to Jerusalem. The old men and the elder women, they wept as they made their journey back from Babylon, where they hadn't sung the Lord's song because they were in a strange land. That's where they hung their harps on the willows. But God delivers us out of the power of darkness, and he delivers us and conveys us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Colossians 1:13 says. The Message Bible says God rescued us from dead-end alleys and dark dungeons. He set us up in the kingdom of the Son he loves so much, the Son who got us out of the pit we were in, and he got rid of the sins we were doomed to keep repeating. When we've been in negative situations for a long time, it seems impossible as to how anything could ever change. But God is still able to do what we think is impossible. They had been taken captive by a nation they despised. They lost their homes, they lost their families. But now it was all being brought back to them. The years that had been stolen from them were being restored. This was not the deliverance of just one individual. This was an entire nation being set free. It's great when we personally experience that, but when an entire nation is being delivered, they were dancing, they were singing, they were dreaming again as they walked that long road back to Jerusalem. One of the first things that happened in verse 2, was it says their mouth was filled with laughter. We laugh when we're going fast in a car or when we're excited about something. It's like, it's just excitement and laughter. That's what these people were feeling. And God was so happy to see his people coming back from confusion, lockdown, isolation, Babylon. Now their mouths were filled with laughter. They were laughing about their now free predicament. They were laughing about their future. Laughter is a divine gift. In fact, Proverbs says, it will do you good, like a medicine. Then the third sign of following Jesus, of receiving Christ, of being born again, is that we have a song. These people, first of all, dreamed. Secondly, they laughed. And then it says, our mouths were filled with singing. Singing is a part of the signature of God in our soul. Never let the devil steal your song. That song has power. Never underestimate the power of praise. When these people were oppressed in a foreign land, uprooted, dislocated, lost their identity, they lost their song. In fact, the locals taunted them, asking them to sing one of their famous songs, the songs of Zion. But as we've said, when we sat down by the rivers of Babylon, we wept. When we remembered Zion. And they said, sing us some of the songs, sing us some of the Lord's songs. But they couldn't sing. We hung our harps on the willows. How could we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? But now they were delivered. Now they were coming back. Their song returned. One of the greatest things you can do today is to sing, worship to the Lord. One of the great things about our worship leaders, our worship bands in our churches is that they sing songs that are somewhat simple at times, but that's good because they're easily remembered. And during the day, those songs begin singing themselves. You just find them regurgitating, if you like, coming back up out of your soul. The fountain of praise in our spirit should never be blocked. If we keep worshiping, singing, laughing, dreaming, we'll be on the road that takes us back into the house of God, into his presence, where he blesses and defeats the enemy. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Look forward to sharing the rest of this psalm in our next devotional podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the C3 Church Global Podcast. Let us know what you thought by leaving a review and connect with us on Instagram at C3 Church Global. We hope you'll be back real soon.